So today's message, what I want to talk to you is about, this is about a prophetic message. And I believe that when I was preparing this, I really felt the Spirit of God working in me. And I really know that this message is for you today and for me today. So when I share that this kind of message, it's not only for you to listen, but it's for me too. So the Word of God is two-edged sword, it says, right? Both sides. It cuts you as well as it cuts me. It heals us, heals me. So let's talk about, today I want to talk about restoration. It's about the Spirit of God is involved. Holy Spirit is actually involved in restoring our lives. Amen. And what is dead, God can bring it to life. Even if it's dead things, you know, some dreams that are dead, some in your life, you think something in your life is dead. You feel it's like it's dry and dead. The Spirit of God can restore that. The Spirit of God can bring alive to you. So if there is anything in your life that you come across, just be mindful of the Holy Spirit and be mindful of what the Spirit of God is actually doing in your heart. And just, you know, sometimes we come to church and we want to listen to the message, but listen to the Spirit of God, what God is actually saying to you today. And I don't want you to go back the way same you came in here. I want you to get charged by God and recharged by God and restored by God by His Spirit. So the text for today is I'm going to read two scriptures from Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. We're going to read that, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. It says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." So it's all, everything that is happening in our life, that happens through our life, is the work of God. So we need to be mindful of that. He has started good work and He will continue to finish it because it is His work. And let's go to our text, main text, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14. I'm going to read. It's the chapter and the verse. Just bear with me. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14. It says, "The Lord took hold of me," this is Ezekiel, "and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'Oh, sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to those bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles, flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the winds. Son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done. Amen. Wow. This is a story about Prophet Ezekiel, who is looking at God took him, the Spirit of God took him to a valley where there was so many bones, everything was dead. There was bodies after bodies after bodies, but it were bones separated from their bodies, and he could only see bones, and the bones were dry. Probably, if you have seen dry bones, they are dry bones. What it means is that this valley was full of dead people. And Bible talks about that it was a prophetic message. It was a vision that Ezekiel saw. And in what it means is the people of Israel, people, God's people, even though there were so much promises that God has given, God wanted to create a nation of Israel, one nation, and nation was divided into two. And now the nation had gone into captivity, Babylonian captivity. At that time, Babylon was a big empire that was powerful. And the people of God, they went into exile, and the people went into exile for so long that people from young, they were getting old into this exile, and they were looking at themselves and looking at their children and looking at the people that had came as a captive. And these people were losing hope. They were thinking, God, you are our God. You promised us a land. You promised us that you will make us a great nation. We believe that. And we, every Israelites at that time, they ought to tell their children about the works of God that is being done and how they came out of Egypt. How God rescued them so many times. And they were worshiping God. They're supposed to tell their children the story after story after story, because that's how the word passed on in those days, because we did not have a written scripture. So they used to pass down the story and story and story. And here people are in exile. They are in a place where they are captive. They don't even have their rights, and they have to tell their children about God. And I can imagine the people thinking, what kind of story shall we tell to our children now? Because there is no hope. Everything looks dead. We are in captivity for so long. And people had lost hope. And at that moment, God gives a vision. And God takes Ezekiel and says, look at these bones. Look at the dead dreams. Not only dead, they are dry. It's like there is no hope, completely no hope anymore. And they're living in this kind of time and a season. And they couldn't see anything positive. What do you do when that happens? This is a story in the Bible, but today, in our life, some of you might feel that your dreams are dead. Some of you might just feel dry internally. Some of you might feel, I'm here, but really, I'm not here. People are worshiping, people are singing song, and some of you might think, why they are so happy? Why they are singing song? For me, internally, I'm dry and I'm dead. You know, we look at people, and we look at externally, we look at them and think, oh, they are so happy, they are rejoicing, they seem to be doing everything right. It seems like they are really, really doing well. But we don't really know the internal struggle at times people go through. It's really, really important for us that when we have a conversation with one another, it is really important, even though when we ask, how are you? Everybody says, yes, I'm fine, I'm good. But that at that moment, they feel that way. But maybe they are struggling internally. So it's so important for us to really understand people, really be with people, and pray for each other. You know, the first thing that we learn from here is the deadness of the dry bones symbolizes the deadness of people's hope. When the hope dies, you stop living. What keeps us alive is the hope. But for us as a believer, even though whatever feelings that we go through, the struggles of life, the problems of life, the issue of life we go through, but we always have God in our life. Because as a believer, for me, it's the God factor that makes everything different. For me, I remember 2007 when I got married. 27 October 2007, I got married. And after I got married, I felt, internally, I felt that my time in Singapore, the church I was part of, is over. And I really felt that this dissatisfaction internally, it's like, I need to do something else. I need to do something about this. So there was a deep dissatisfaction in me. And I knew that even though it was dissatisfaction, it was God allowed it to happen in my life because that season of life was going to be over. So I had a chat with my wife and I said, there's this really dissatisfaction, and I went into prayer, and I really felt that into the end of 2007, I really felt that I need to resign from the church. I was a children pastor then, and I need to resign from that. And if I resign from the church, that was end of my life because I was not a permanent resident in Singapore. I was born in Nepal, so I was on a work visa. And if I resign, that's it, finished. I had to pack up my bag and go back to Nepal. But I didn't want to go back to Nepal anymore because I knew that there's nothing. I knew the call. God has not called me back to Nepal, even though I was born in Nepal. God has not called me back. I was pretty sure about that. So I didn't want to go back. But if I resign from this job, my visa will be canceled, and I need to take my wife, who is born in Singapore, from Singapore, I had to take my wife and go back to Nepal. So I started praying, Lord, you give me this impression that I need to resign from the job, but what am I going to do after this? I can't immediately find the other job because I'm not even Singapore permanent residency. I can't just go and look for a job, and my visa will be canceled. What am I going to do? And we prayed about it, and this impression came to us and said, okay, let's apply the visa to go to Australia, and also let's apply for permanent residency in Singapore. So my wife and I decided, okay, we're going to go to Singapore immigration. We went to Singapore immigration in the morning. We applied for the permanent residency because I lived in Singapore for 10 years, studied there, worked there, and I married to a Singaporean. So I thought, okay, it makes sense. I can apply Singapore's permanent residency because I lived here. They know me. And after that morning, we applied that in Singapore immigration. And then after we finished, we went to Australian High Com in Singapore, and we also put in an application to come to Australia. I had never been to Australia before. My wife, as you probably know my story, because her company, the hospital that she used to work here, gave her 3 years unpaid leave to come back to Singapore and get married. And within 3 years, if she decided to come back here, her job will still be waiting for her. So that was a miracle itself. So I applied and then decided, okay, let's pray. And early 2008, I decided, okay, now I'm going to put in the resignation. By faith, I put in a resignation saying I am moving, don't know where, but I know that this season of my life is over here. And my pastor then said, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? I said, at the moment, I don't know, but I know that this is what I need to do. So the moment I put in a resignation, and no few days, I can't give you exact days, but few days after that, what happened is these two letters, reply comes back from Australian High Com and Singapore Immigration. So both letters arrived to me, and I knew that in my heart, I thought Singapore is going to accept me because I'm married to a Singaporean. Plus, I lived in Singapore, and Singapore government actually have records of me being here. I haven't committed any crimes, so I should be fine. And I opened the application letter that I applied. I opened it up, the reply, and then I realized that it said is rejected. Your application has been denied. Now, internally, I'm starting to panic because Australia, I knew that I haven't been to Australia. If Singapore rejected me, Australia is going to definitely reject me. That's what I was thinking. So I fearfully opened up the Australian letter that came back. To my surprise, as you already know the answer because I'm here, I wanted to keep it a surprise, but it didn't work. You are accepted. And they also gave me the date to come in to Australia. So I knew without a shadow of doubt that it is God that opened the door. And I knew that me and my family and I need to be here. So I knew that. And we thanked God, and everything worked out, and we arrived on the 2nd July 2008, we arrived to Perth. Things started as arrived to Perth, about a week. It was good because it was a new place for me. I had a lot of places I could go. I could walk around the city. I could go here and there. Australia was new. So because I'd never been here, I enjoyed for a week. Second week onwards, I started looking for a job. All my life at that time, I used to work in the church. So because my grandparents were pastors and I didn't have to apply for a job because they were pastors, they thought that because they were pastors, you know, I'm their children and I have a call of God. So I started serving the Lord, and that was my life. And I thought in those days that I will serve in the church, I will be in the church, and I will die in the church. And that is true. I will. because I will serve the Lord all my life. Now I know that. But the second week when I came to Perth, I couldn't find any job. I applied for cleaning job. I couldn't find. And people ask me, when I go for interview, they used to say, do you have Cert 3 in chemical handling? Yes. Certificate 3 in chemical handling? And I'm saying, what? Do you need a certificate for a cleaning job as well? I know how to clean. No. You need to have that. You need to have this. And I applied jobs after jobs application. I applied this, applied, and I could not. For months, it took months. I could not find any job, any work that will pay me. I could not find it. So because of that, first week I enjoyed because it was new. Second week onwards, I couldn't find a job. So I started to turn internal, and I started really internally. I was thinking, Lord, you brought us here. I know you opened the door for us, but I'm not even getting any job. I applied for churches in different roles. They call me for interview. I go and they see me. The moment they see me, they reject me. Why is that? And I started to go into depression internally. I started to internalize issues. And I even forgot who I was. Because my whole identity was wrapped around me being a pastor in the church, in church in Singapore. Because I was a children pastor as well as youth pastor at that time. So everybody used to call me, oh, Pastor Raju, how are you? Everybody was so nice to me in the church because I was one of the pastor there. And my whole identity was wrapped around doing. Being a pastor, doing things, just doing. But I realized that I had not actually developed my own identity in Christ. My identity was wrapped around by doing who I was. Everybody calls me pastor. I was a minister. I didn't know internally who I was. And until the second week being in Perth, the reality hits me and I start to ask the question, who am I? And I couldn't answer that question. I didn't know who I was. I prayed. I loved the Lord. I asked God, but I couldn't find a job because as being a man, as we know that sometimes we have this sense of, oh, I am the provider. I need to be the provider in my family. And thank God for my lovely wife who was working. She had a job and she supported me all these months. And I wanted to work and I wanted to earn money and really be the head of the family. That's what I thought then. But I couldn't find a job. So I went into this deep, dark pit in my head. And I forgot who I was. And I literally identify with this Ezekiel, the vision that we see, the dry bone. I was literally dried inside. I started to really, really question God. And Lord, you brought me here. I knew, but what are you doing with me? And I felt as though so dry internally. I used to pray, but it didn't do anything. I used to read the Bible. It was a dry like rock. I didn't hear God speaking to me. I couldn't because I was internalizing all this problem and I was questioning God for why did he bring me here? And my wife used to work night shift. Those days she used to work full time. And so because she used to work night shift, at night I'm all alone. Day, I'm all alone. Because daytime, she needs to sleep. We had a small apartment that we rented in South Perth. And because it was so small that I couldn't stay in the house, I had to go out and Perth City, because Perth City is huge, right? So big that I had many, many days just going around one corner to the other corner. And I was just walking around aimlessly every day in the city and thinking, what am I doing here? Daytime, because I couldn't stay in the house. And nighttime, I come home and Michelle, my wife, goes to work and I'm all alone in the house. And nights, I used to cry. I used to cry internally and say, Lord, you brought me here. You opened the door for me. But what am I doing here? And I felt why this passage is so important and so real to me is because I felt exactly like dry bones. I felt that darkness internally. And I couldn't hear God. And the word of God did not encourage me at that time because I was so internally, so obsessed with trying to find a job I couldn't find. So I felt dead inside. I felt alone. I had no direction in life. And no one knew me here in Australia, so I couldn't go and talk to anyone. So it was so hard. It went for a month. And my wife said, she realized that I'm really going into depression probably. And she said, why don't you go and study Certificate 3 in aged care? And there was a private provider that provides 6 weeks of training. And you pay a certain amount and you can go and they will give you 1 week of, 2 weeks of practical, 2 weeks of theory. And you go every day and then they will send you to an aged care home for 3 weeks of practicum. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do that. So I enrolled in that. I went for theory and then after that they sent me to Amana Living, which is a part of Anglicare, Anglican-run aged care system, so aged care home. So they sent me to Amana Living in Salter Point in Perth. And so I did my practicum, and after that, thank God, they decided to employ me. So I started working for them. And while working there, I was also volunteering in the church as well. And in the church, I was volunteering, working so hard, not this church, but in the past. So I was working in that church, volunteering, and I really felt, even when I was volunteering there, I really felt, and I felt that I was taken advantage of. I was doing so much work and all that, but there was no employment opportunity. I knew that God had, and now I knew in my heart that God has called me. But there was no opportunity. Churches, God, there was no openings in the churches because I wanted to serve the Lord in that regards in the church full time, but there was no opening. So after a while, my heart becomes so hard that I decided that in my heart, I said, I will never, ever again step into the church and work in the church as a full-time pastor. So I make a vow within myself saying, I'm never going to become a pastor again in the church. So that went on for long, many years. In 2017, I went to a church camp. And in the church camp, 3 days church camp, the first day I walked into the church camp, I started just first session, I started crying. I was crying and crying and crying and crying. I don't know what actually happened. I was just crying from the first day, the first session, to the last day, the last session, I was just from worship to the message, all the way, I was just crying and crying and crying and crying. I'm looking left and right. I'm thinking, what am I doing? Everybody looking at me and they're thinking, what's wrong with this fellow? Because he's crying all the time. And I was crying. And do you know that without my knowledge, the Spirit of God was working in me. And he was working in me, and all the sorrow that I had, all the pain that I had, and all the things that I had against the church and the leadership of the church, and all that, God was, by his Spirit, melting it. It was melting it. He was melting it. And that hard heart suddenly became so soft, and the last day of the camp, I heard this voice. Clearly, says Raju, it's enough now. It's time for you to step in. This is what I heard clearly. And I knew exactly that voice was the Spirit of God telling me, you need to serve me in the church. And I, that day, I made a commitment to God. And I asked God to forgive me for making a vow about not coming and serving the Lord in the church. I repented from it. And I asked God to forgive me. And I asked God to restore me back. And immediately after that, I started taking leaps of faith. And I started volunteering in the church in a very heavy capacity. And God used me. And God provided. And immediately after, God opened the door for me to come into full-time ministry again. And God forgave me and restored me back by His Spirit. But the Spirit of God worked in me. Those dry bones that I felt, the dryness that I felt, God, by His Spirit, restored me back and gave me His Spirit in me and healed me completely. And God is not a respecter of a person. He can do it to you, for you, today. And if you are, I don't know why God asked me to share this message. And today, before we finish, I'm asking you, are you dry inside? Are you feeling hopeless, aimless, and feel like something is dead inside? Have you lost your passion for God or life? Do you feel your dreams are dead? Holy Spirit is with us here right now to bring to life what is dead inside of you. He has done it in the past. He can do it now in the present and will continue to do in the future. Come to Him. Surrender to Him. And as you surrender to Him, the Spirit of God is going to work within you to restore your dream back, heal you from that pain of the past, and give you back the vision that God has, the purpose that God has for you today. Perhaps things are not dead, but you are dry inside. Christianity has become just a religion for you, devoid of relationship. The religion is not going to save you. It's the relationship with God that saves you. Yeah.